Hey, you guys, here I am once again for my Flickers of Fear movie review show. Now, this movie, holy crap, I can't believe it took me this long to see this goddamn movie. So, what ended up happening with this one? For whatever reason, about 5 or 6 years ago, I mean, you guys know I'm really into Italian giallo movies and Italian horror in general. But a few years back, probably 5 or 6 years, I kind of went off on this big long tear where I was pretty much watching nothing but that, and that I was doing a bunch of reviews of them or writing about them a lot for my blog. And one evening in particular, I just kind of got this wild hair, and I was sort of like, I wonder if anybody nowadays, because I hadn't really kept up with a lot of newer horror, right around the time this came out, I was like, I wonder is anybody doing anything new in that style, because that would be really cool and I would like to see that. So I looked it up and it turned out that there had been, not a lot, but some more modern examples of giallo or giallo adjacent type of movies. And one of these was called Barbarian Sound Studio. Now this came out in 2012. So I kind of made a list and I wrote it down and I said, oh, I'll need to see that one of these days. And then I guess I kind of, as time went on, I sort of forgot about it. And then, for whatever reason, the other day, I was sort of thinking about giallo movies, or I was thinking about something like that. And I was like, man, I should see that because, I've been wanting to see it for such a long time, and it sounded really cool, like the premise of it. And it's not exactly a giallo movie, but it's kind of based in that world, you know what I mean? Which I'll get to in a minute. So finally, I went over to Amazon Prime and rented it. I believe it was $2 or $3.99. Maybe you can get it somewhere else on another streaming service. I'm not really sure, but that's where I got it. And I finally sat down and watched it. And holy crap, where has this movie been all my life? I feel like this movie was made pretty much with my exact demographic in mind. It's the craziest shit ever. So, like I said, this came out back in 2012. Now, this is, I believe, the second film of the British director and screenwriter Peter Strickland. I think his first movie was a Hungarian film. I think it was even Hungarian language. I haven't seen it, but it got a lot of notice, I guess, when it came out. But this was his second one. And this is, man, this is such a fascinating premise. Now, I am gonna say, like, this is a psychological horror film, and it's very concerned with sound and the effect of sound. I mean, hence being called Barbarian Sound Studio. It doesn't show a lot in the sense of gore. A lot of it is like suggestion and some reviews, like most of the reviews I've seen have been like really, really positive. With particular, like, very famous British film reviewer Mark Kermode, he thought it was, I think, the best British film of 2012, if not the best film of 2012 altogether. But I feel like one kind of divisive thing is some people didn't really like the way it ended. And I will say that if you're not real into surrealism, or if you're going to be one of those people that's just like, oh my God, what the fuck is going on? It's just kind of gone off the rails, or it's being surreal for the sake of it, then probably you won't like this because it does take a turn toward the third act. But you know me, I love that shit, so I was totally on board, even though I'm not sure I entirely get it in the sense that, I mean, I don't know. The way that it ends can be interpreted in a lot of different ways, I guess. But, we'll get into that. So this story is set sometime in the 60s or 70s. It's not entirely clear and it doesn't really matter. Whenever like the heyday of the Italian giallo movie was. So we have this kind of mousy, milquetoast English sound engineer known only as Gilderoy. And he's played by Toby Jones, who is a character actor who has been in fucking everything, man. Like, I knew I had seen him in a ton of shit, and I couldn't remember exactly what. He played Truman Capote in Infamous. I think that was kind of his first breakout role. He was the voice of Dobby in the Harry Potter movies. He played a character in some of the Marvel movies. He was in The Hunger Games. He was in W. He was in The Mist. He was in Jurassic World. He's just been in a fucking ton of stuff. He was in Frost Nixon. So yeah, if you've seen the dude, you'll recognize him because he's been in a lot of really big movies. I mean, this is really his movie because this is a great fucking performance. So Gilderoy is this very, very uptight, very kind of mama's boy, sort of sound engineer. And he is hired, to go to Italy and work on a film. Now, his forte, I guess, is sort of like English nature documentaries, very twee, and he's doing the sound engineering. So he's very into listening to the sounds of nature, like recording wind and birds and things like that. So he gets summoned to Italy, I guess because his reputation precedes him or whatever, to work on a film that he thinks is a nature film, I guess, about horses. And it's called, because it's called The Equestrian Vortex. Now, when he gets there, he finds out that this movie is actually a really, really over-the-top, graphically violent giallo film. And this really does not sit very well with him at all. Now, one of the really interesting things about this movie is that it's a movie about making a movie, but you never actually get to see the movie that they're making. You can hear it because, like I said, that's kind of like the whole, that's kind of this whole movie's thing is the sound design and how sound and horror kind of go to, and like it really, the sound that they do, like really kind of, makes your imagination run wild or whatever. So I will note too that I love. Love. I knew I was going to love this movie like in the first couple seconds because instead of having traditional opening credits, like this movie is called Barbarian Sound Studio and stars this, that, and the other, it actually had opening credits for the giallo film that is inside the film, The Equestrian Vortex, and they are spot on. I mean, so it was just kind of like this 60s, 70s psychedelic, satanic kind of shit with all this red stuff, with all the credits are in Italian and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, movie. Uh-oh. You know what I like. So yeah, so I love that they fucking did that, and then they just go into the movie. So over the course of the film, he starts working on this movie. He gets there, and after he gets to, I mean, pretty much the whole entire movie takes place inside this studio. You never see the outside. I don't think you ever see the outside, other than one kind of weird, like interstitial where they show part of a documentary that he worked on, which was like the English countryside and stuff. But other than that, the whole entire thing is set inside the studio. It's all inside. So you never know whether it's daytime or nighttime. So it's this really creepy, like insular, claustrophobic kind of vibe going on. And it really does well, like setting up this whole sense of dread because, here's this very mousy, shy Englishman who gets to this job and that he thinks is going to be one thing, but then it turns out to be like this shockingly violent movie that he's really not comfortable with doing the sound effects for. And also there's a big culture clash. He doesn't speak Italian. Some of the other people speak English, but some of them don't. And everyone seems vaguely not hostile necessarily, but they're just kind of, he doesn't really relate to them in the same way that he would relate to somebody from his own country, perhaps. They just seem very kind of brusque and and kind of rude, even though from their point of view, they're not being rude and they're always kind of like over the top and boisterous, and he just can't, get with it. And also, you're kind of like, even from the beginning, you're not entirely sure. I mean, you know that probably something sinister is going on, but you're not entirely sure what it is, which I think is like really good because it just has this really creepy, like, what the fuck is happening with this shit? So most of the movie is him kind of getting increasingly disturbed by this movie that they're making. Because, and like I said, they never show the actual movie, The Equestrian Vortex, other than the opening credits, like at the very beginning. But the film is always kind of going, and then you see the people reacting to it, and then you see all the people that are coming in doing the sound effects on it. So they have like all these women coming in doing the overdubbing, all these women coming in screaming, them doing like the music, them doing Foley. So like they'll bring in all these vegetables and stuff and like chop them up or throw them on the floor, like for people getting chopped up and stabbed and falling out, falling onto the concrete, and that kind of stuff, which is great. So you can kind of imagine what's going on in the movie, even though you can't see it, because you can see like his increasingly horrified reactions to it. So that kind of goes on. But then, and this is going to be a bit spoilery, I think. Although, like I said, I don't know. This is one of those movies where I don't think it really matters if it's spoiled or not, because the whole thing is just so concerned with the atmosphere that it builds and like just the weirdness surrounding it that it's not like, it's not like a straightforward narrative story. So it's not like, oh, a big plot twist and you spoiled it, blah, blah. But so right about 2/3 of the way through the movie, you start to think that maybe everything is not as it seems. Because up to this point, everything seems pretty straightforward. You know, you're kind of uncomfortable with this character because he's like, everyone seems kind of cranky towards him or seems like they have their own agendas and you're not really sure what they are. And he's just doesn't want to work on this movie anymore because he finds it revolting and disgusting and violent. You know, the director of the movie, whose name is Santini, who shows up later, he keeps trying to deny that it's a horror film. It's like, no, I'm just showing what's true, man. The movie is essentially like, it's like Suspiria, like in the sense that it's about witches, but it's also about like people torturing witches. So, you know, it's kind of that type of thing. And so a lot of the things that you hear are, you know, people being tortured or sound effects of being tortured. But then there's kind of a recurring thing throughout the movie where Gilderoy keeps wanting to be reimbursed for his flight to Italy because they said they would reimburse him because obviously he's coming there for a job. And every time he tries to get the money, you know, people keep pawning him off. It's like, oh, that's not my department, or why don't you go ask so and so? Like they act like they don't really care. And then like the director's like, what, you don't trust us? You think we're not gonna pay you? And he gets like kind of hostile about it. And then finally, like this other woman that's been working on the movie, like as one of the overdubbing actresses and the one that's been screaming and stuff in the booth, she says to him, she's like, you know, these type of people, you just have to go in and like demand what you want. You can't just ask them. You can't just say, oh, hey, can you check on that? You have to go in there and go, give me this right now. And you have to do that kind of stuff. So he goes and he starts like kind of throwing his weight around. So he does that and people seem to respond well to it. But then it turns out that they said, well, we can't. They call around and they try to check and they're like, well, we can't reimburse you for your ticket for the flight because that flight doesn't exist. And at this point, things go real Inland Empire. In the sense that, I mean, not quite that out there, which is a David Lynch movie if you haven't seen it. Not quite that out there, but reality and the movie that they're making start to blend together. After that revelation that this flight did, like, apparently never occurred, so they can't pay him for it, then shit starts to get weird. Like, he starts to have dreams where he walks out of his room or the apartment that he's staying in, and then he's back in the studio. Then he sees movies of himself up on the thing, like doing shit that he just did. Then the movie goes in a direction where it kind of starts over again from earlier scenes, but now he's dubbed into Italian as though he's in the movie. So it's almost kind of like you're not really sure where the reality of this movie and the movie are. And then you're kind of thinking, like he gets these, has these couple of letters from his mom, you know, because he lived with his mom back in England. He's from Dorking. I love that, which is a real place, in case you didn't know. Because I remember seeing the signs for that over there. I'm like, oh man, that's unfortunate. But yeah, so he's from Dorking. And so he had some letters from his mom, and his mom was talking about, oh, these birds that had nested there. And then like the letters get increasingly horrific, like, oh, some magpies came and killed all the birds and tore their heads off and there's blood everywhere and all this other stuff. But then like later they have to bring in like one of the actresses gets pissed off at the director and destroys like all of the shit that she recorded, so they have to bring in somebody else to re-record her stuff. And that person starts reciting stuff from Gilderoy's mom's letters, so it just goes real weird. So you're not really sure if he's a real person, or I don't know. So it's just kind of like, so keep in mind that it's that kind of thing. So it gets like real surreal toward the end where reality and the movie that they're making are overlapping, and you're not entirely sure if he's a real person or if he's just a character in this movie. So it's like a movie within a movie, like a Mobius strip type of deal. Like I said, it kind of reminded me of Inland Empire in that way. Also, gonna say, gave me some Videodrome vibes a little bit. A little bit like Peeping Tom, that type of shit. Maybe like maybe some Polanski movies. Some people have compared it to The Conversation with Gene Hackman. So, or maybe like a Blow Up, kind of like that too. So, if that sounds like something, like I said, this is not. It's based on, you know, the backstory of it is like Giallo, and there's little nods in there to, like, you know, the dude that runs one of the machines is like wearing a black glove, and there's like little Easter eggs in there for people that are into giallo movies. And like I said, that opening credit scene is just, I knew I was gonna love the movie as soon as I saw that, because I was like, oh my God, that's fantastic. But this in itself is not a giallo movie. It's more like a surrealist psychological horror that's based in that world. But that said, I mean, it's so weird, and it's just so good. And it's like, I can't believe that I took this long to fucking see it. It's just amazing. And I will note too that because sound is pretty much, I mean, very, very much to the forefront in this movie, it's kind of like the main character really is all the screams and the sound effects and just all the sound design. The sound design is fantastic. So I would actually recommend that you, if you watch it, like kind of watch it in a quiet environment and on a really good sound system, so you can kind of appreciate like all the score and all the stuff that's going on, because it's really amazing. You know, again, not a traditional horror movie, but if you like giallo films, if you like surrealist type of films, anything like David Lynch or, you know, like I said, kind of Cronenbergian, anything kind of like that. It's not bloody. There's not like, you know, it's not big murders or anything like that. You don't really see anything gory, but it's just a real weird, creepy, you know, just kind of dread-inducing psychological horror with a really interesting, with a giallo tinge, and with, you know, set in an interesting setting that you don't see a lot in horror movies. So yeah, definitely check it out. Like I said, I rented it on Amazon Prime. I think it was $2.99 or $3.99 or something like that. If you're in another country, I don't know, it might be on another streaming service because it's a British film. So I checked UK Shudder and I didn't see it on there, so I don't know where you guys can get it, but I'm sure you can get it somewhere else easily if it sounds like your kind of thing. But yeah, I really dug it. And if you like that kind of stuff, then I think you probably will too. But let me know in the comments if you saw it and what you thought of it. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.